And because everything is erected on it, they will ever be busy to try to make it so. Ever be busy creating misery and hardship and divisions and making it seem that we are at each other's throats by our nature instead of by their prompting and orchestration, manipulation. Martin Bernow has shown us how this utilitarian mindset, the mindset of making use of the natural world, and especially that natural material that is our children and ourselves, was intentionally created and promulgated via elite universities. Alice Miller has shown us how power established this mindset in the children of the elite by means of the child-rearing pedagogues, thereby ensuring its reproduction into the future, hidden under the euphemism education. Quote, until the time he was four, I taught little Conrad four essentials: to pay attention, to obey, to behave himself, and to be moderate in his desires. And this is from a poisoned pedagogue from 1796. It's time for us, whether we're ready to defend ourselves or not, to defend the children irregardless. And for us to start here in the U.S. to use, I mean, we have a little bit more room to do this. Lord knows, I know the constraints on that so-called freedom of speech. Nonetheless, in solidarity is strength. They can do this to me because I'm an individual. That's how they maintain their control, by picking off individuals. And so it is now time for us to check that, to counter that with open discussions. This is what we have the right to do, right? We're talking about talking in a country that supposedly allows talking. And what are we talking about? Loving each other better, supporting each other better. Becoming bigger, growing our gifts, being creative, solidarity with each other. These are honorable precepts. Nothing illegal there. No conspiracies. There is getting bigger and stemming the tide of the functionaries, because it is only by being not being big that they can con us with the propaganda. So we, in here in the U.S., we have the luxury of official freedom of speech. And the right as the codified right as a people to pursue happiness. That's a big one. I mean, we can just get together and form a whole conference around, as a people, what do we require to be happy? And that's codified right there in the Declaration of Independence. Get enough people doing it. There's no way they can claim there's some sort of conspiracy to overthrow the state if that's their legitimate, if that's their legal justification for targeting people like they target me. I don't know. It's all undercover and clandestine. Nonetheless, we have the codified right to come together as a people to discuss what makes us happy. And I'm arguing it is self-creation. It is helping our brothers and sisters. And thereby we push the limits of power's need to protect its seeming legitimacy. And we don't know to what degree there actually is, because the media, as we've discussed here, is very much vetted and massaged and manufactured outright. Use our rights, our codified rights, to speak up for the children. 200 years ago, and as I said, we're going to be hearing some of the details around how that happened from Emanuel Wallerstein. These Plato-loving proto-fascists devised a conscious strategy to confuse, corrupt, and condition the children. We have to undo that damage. It is wrong for them, their brilliance, to be working on lies. We want to release that for our brilliant, beautiful future, for our freedom. When I read the following from a young student, the first thing, and I'm going to be quoting this young student, the first thing that struck was that it illustrated well enough the typical psychological abuse our children are subjected to under class, forced to make of themselves an object. This is that dualism we've been talking about and that we saw in that opening quote from. He expressed that very well. Very elaborately, Marx did, forced to make of themselves an object that must perform, prove its worth by objective, quote unquote, criteria. Quote, I've been mulling over something that I just can't wrap my brain around for the last few months. A, attending a prestigious school requires a great deal of hard work and intellect. We should be proud to go here. B, members of marginalized populations face obstacles that their non-marginalized peers do not face, and these should be accounted for when considering any single person's achievements. I completely believe both. I'm someone who, relatively speaking, won the birth circumstance lottery. My married, supportive American parents have been well off as long as I've been alive. But how am I supposed to feel proud of my accomplishments? And isn't that a... How am I supposed to feel proud? Listen to the mustn'ts, child. Listen to the don'ts. Listen to... We are bombarded when we come onto the planet with the shouldn'ts, the mustn'ts, the... You got to do this. And that's the set. That's how that happens. The separation of the self. How am I supposed to feel as opposed to? I am entitled to what I feel. What you feel is what you feel, right? You know, imagine one of our animal friends. How am I supposed, when I invade their turf in the wee hours and the raccoons are rambling and a roving and a roaming and the rats run over your feet. Imagine one of those raccoons sitting up on its haunches and saying to me, what am I supposed to feel about you invading my turf like this? Okay? All right. Now, we are trained to separate ourselves into who we are and who we are supposed to be, and what if the two don't mesh? Anyway, sorry. How am I supposed to feel proud of my accomplishments if the unfair advantages I've been given are totally beyond my control? And that's G. Haley Massara from the column Two Truths and a Lie. This is in the Daily Californian of September 8th, 2015. But another way of saying this, that is to say, saying that our children are subjected to psychological abuse in separating themselves into the one that must perform for the other one. Another way of saying this is to say that the utilitarian mindset masks power, which here in this quote we can see has misdirected this young person's energy away from the true culprit, power itself, to himself. Typically, our children's energies rarely are allowed to view, and I'm saying himself, not realizing because I don't know for sure. I apologize if I'm getting the gender wrong, but just assume I don't know and I'm ignorant. And, I mean, I assume I am. Anyway, back up. Another way of saying this is that misdirecting this young person's energy away from the true culprit, power itself, to him or herself. Typically, was there a picture? There usually is a picture. See what I'm saying about the separation of the self? My mind is like thinking on that still while I'm trying to read. Come on, girl, get centered. Misdirects our children's energy away from power to them. Typically, our children's energies rarely are allowed to view and work with the authentic, which means their lives, typically as with ours, are thrown away. And I don't think that's hyperbole. If what we are meant to do is to live our gifts freely, share them freely with each other, and help the entire world, all of us together, with the dilemmas that we face, without compulsion, without 10,000 guys trying to be gods sitting on us. The name of the game, if your power is duping the children. Children are thirsty for truth. They hunger for the authentic. And so to gain our freedom, move on from 10,000 years of class and these 10,000 guys who want to be gods, we need only to disseminate widely, and especially to every youth we have access to, our discussions of hidden power. We can talk ourselves, as we do other things as well, but this is a key strategy to reduce the tide of the functionaries, talk ourselves into our freedom, because they have to have people willing to reproduce slavery, reproduce captivity, reproduce hierarchy, class, and rank, when our bodies don't want that. They just don't. And as soon as we give young people an opportunity to actually, as soon as we name that problem, they get working on it. And then we got exponential transformation underway. It really is key that we get our young people and ourselves simply thinking. So this is it. We have to talk about it. The need for an alternative to a class-based, hierarchy-based global social arrangement. These are discussions that reside at the intersection of the insights provided by Karl Popper. These are all the folk who outpower. That's what this list is about. Exposing hidden power. Karl Popper, Alice Miller, Peter Kropotkin, Albert O. Hirschman, Martin Bernal, John Boswell, Miklos Neasley, and our good three, Terence K. Hopkins, Giovanni Arrighi, and Emmanuel Wallerstein. And I hope that the form these discussions take here on the Nascence website prove useful too. No violence, no weapons beyond the weapon of truth are needed for us to gain our free future. All we need do is get these suppressed discussions to the youth and to each other too. It don't matter if you agree with the analysis. All that matters is that you value free, open discussion. The earth in us will do the rest. Just as Frome said, it's about faith in our brothers and sisters.